Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest one of the two Republicans who want to run against Democratic Congressman David Cicilline, Stan Tran. Thanks for joining us, Stan.
Thank you for having me here.
Now, Stan, you're a first-time candidate. You're 26 years old. You're on leave as a Brown University medical school student. We know that congressional incumbents get reelected at a rate of about 96%. So why are you running for Congress rather than an office like General Assembly where you might perhaps have a better chance of getting elected?
The thing I care most about is advocating for my patient. And the issues that we have in healthcare, the deep issues, we can't address as a state level. It takes leadership at the federal level to fix.
And just to follow up, if you were to win, you'd be one of 435 members of Congress. How much influence could you, as a freshman, one member of 435, have on healthcare policy?
Sure. So it'll take working with other people to make this happen. I think there's a backlash against Congress for being so polarized and for not getting anything done. The Republicans have tried to repeal Obamacare over 50 times now, and they haven't come up with an alternative solution on how to make things better. And so that's where I feel like I can come in and be like, okay, if you don't like Obamacare, here are some ideas to make healthcare cheaper and better for people. Let's pursue some of these ideas.
Let's go to Scott.
How do you think that Rhode Island's Health Source Rhode Island, the state website that has been, you know, putting into effect Obamacare here, has worked?
It's interesting to look at the cost of that website and look at how much it's costing per person to get people signed up for health care. And I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's a very high number.
Let's go to Maureen.
One wants to ask, is your decision to run as a Republican really ideological or is it strategic? That is, it's cheaper and you get more visibility. Or do you really care and support the GOP?
So two answers to that. One is, I think the Democratic Party has been bad for this state in terms of having a one-party rule, and it's hard for me to sign up for something like that, to be a part of that machine. The second reason is, of all the things I care about, how the government spends its money, I think is the most important aspect for me, because of all the bills that come before Congress, a bill on gun control or abortion or that sort of thing might come up once every 3 years or 5 years. But every bill that comes before Congress is a spending bill. And I think that our national debt is increasing too much and we have to do something about that.
So you feel as if you're a Republican because you want to dampen social services and you want to spend less money.
Everyone assumes that when you want to cut spending, it's about cutting benefits. And that doesn't have to be true. And so I'm trying to make that case that in healthcare spending, we spend, as a country, we spend the most for healthcare and have the worst outcomes. So there's a lot of room for cutting without cutting benefits.
Let's go a little deeper on that, Stan. As you said earlier, healthcare is your top issue. What, if you were a philosopher king, what would you do to improve the delivery of healthcare while making it less expensive?
So like four things. One is to reduce the cost of prescription medication, tort reform. And by the way, all these things were promised through Obamacare, but it never happened. Address the end-of-life issues that we have in terms of giving patients more choices and talking to them about this. Right now, doctors don't get paid to talk to patients, so this doesn't happen. And improving coordination of care between different hospital systems, and that's especially helpful in a state like this where we have six, eight different hospitals in close proximity that don't communicate and coordinate.
Scott, what do you make of Stan's prescription for improving healthcare, and how realistic is it to make progress on those issues?
Well, it's very hard to make progress on healthcare issues because everybody in the system, there's a lot of money at stake, $9 billion just in Rhode Island in healthcare spending, and everybody who's entrenched in the system has lobbyists, and they're tough to really move against.
You're absolutely right.
On the other hand, I would argue that HealthSource is doing a pretty good job, despite the fact that the website is expensive. That's only a short-term expense, and there's reason to believe that we're insuring small businesses, and most candidates are wanting to expand that even regionally. So the Democrats are doing very well in Rhode Island, I think, when it comes to health care. How do you respond to that?
I agree that it should be expanded regionally because in this state we have one insurance provider, Blue Cross Blue Shield, that has the majority of the businesses, 70-80%. And that's not real competition. That's not giving patients choices.
In other political news this week, an ad launched by Angel Tavares' gubernatorial campaign calls Democratic rival Clay Pell inexperienced, and the spot questions how much time Pell has spent in Rhode Island. All indications are that we're seeing a tighter Democratic primary race between Tavares, Pell, and fellow Democrat Gina Raimondo. Stan, you have some things in common with Pell in terms of being young and being a first-time candidate. What do you make of this criticism of Pell from Angel Tavares?
I think it's fair, and I think you should just be frank about it. I mean, I've been in the state for 3 years, and I'm frank about that. in terms of I saw the attack ad, and I mean Clay Pell was waving on that question. I mean I'm clear why I stand. If you ask me a question, I'll give you a straight answer.
Maureen, do you think this is an effective ad? And you've been somewhat skeptical about Pell's experience. So what do you make of the content of the criticism?
Well, I think the content of the criticism is valid. And I think it's the only argument that can be made. You can't talk about some policies that he's put through because he doesn't have any. So I think it's a strategic move on the part of Angel Tavares. We suspect that Pell is taking more votes away from Angel Tavares. And I think it's an appropriate, not too harsh or mudslinging, but it is appropriate response at this point. I think he's got to do something to stem the tide. I mean, Pell's spending $3 million. That's a lot of money, and so I think Angel's pushing back.
Scott, what kind of impact do you expect from this ad from Tavares criticizing Pell, and what do you think will be decisive, the race among the three main Democratic candidates going forward?
You know, there's not a lot of policy differences among these three candidates, so obviously this is going to come down to how you feel about them personally. A lot of governor's races do that. I think Maureen's correct when she said that Pell is starting to move some poll numbers, that he's put a lot of money on television, and they've been good ads that Tad Devine, his consultants, made. So he's made some progress at the expense of Tavares, and Tavares decided, I've got to stop the flow of this stuff, so I'm going to shoot back. And essentially, that's what he did with this. I call it the wet behind the ears ad, which is the theme that he's using.
Let's stay with Scott here. Former President Bill Clinton plans to come to Rhode Island later this month to campaign for Democratic candidate for treasurer Seth Magaziner. Also running for treasurer as a Democrat is former treasurer Frank Caprio. Scott, how do you see what is at stake in this Democratic fight for treasurer?
It's a very interesting contest. I think Bill Clinton obviously is coming here because of his long-term friendship with one of his chief FOBs, that's known as Friends of Bill, Ira Magaziner, from their days together as Rhodes Scholars at Oxford University. I remember back in 1991, Clinton swooping into Providence for a campaign fundraiser, and sure enough, there to greet him at the airport was Suzanne Magaziner and Seth Magaziner, who was probably about 6 years old. And Bill put his hand on Seth's head. Seth, how are you? You know, in that southern drawl that we all got to know so well for years after. I think the interesting thing for Magaziner is he's going to have to raise some more money and spend some more money on television. He still doesn't have the name recognition, I don't think, to beat Caprio at this point. Now, whether that changes between now and September 9th, that's up to Magaziner. Obviously, an appearance by Bill Clinton helps Seth Magaziner.
Maureen, how do you see the key differences between Seth Magaziner and Frank Caprio?
Well, one thing I would say is that when Bill Clinton comes, one can assume that Frank Caprio won't tell him to shove it or make any remarks like that. I think he'll keep his head down. I think that Caprio's strategy is to play to his base, and I think in that sense he's not done a lot of advertising. They handle each other very well. I've seen them in some debates. They're credible candidates. So I think that Caprio's strategy is to spend money on a turnout kind of thing, where I think Scott's right. For Magaziner, he's got to get his name out there more, and he's got to do more about letting people know who he is.
Now, Stan, you're a Republican. With a little bit of time left, give us a little more on who you are and why you decided to run for Congress beyond your interest in the health care issue.
So I was a high school teacher before I came to medical school at Brown, and I've been here for 4 years. This is my fourth year as a medical student. And I am running because I want to advocate for my patients. There are things that are broken with the healthcare system, things that are broken in the education system that people aren't talking about, and I have specific solutions, specific plans on how to make things better.
I wanted to ask you, you're a medical student who has put your education on hold. What did your mother say?
She's very unhappy. She was unhappy, and she's still unhappy about it.
Presumably, you'll get back to this if you don't win this election.
Absolutely. I plan to go back to medicine regardless of what happens. I think that's medicine's a career and politics isn't.
All right. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And one of the two Republicans running in the 1st Congressional District, Stan Tran. Next week, we'll hear from his Republican opponent, Cormac Lynch. Thanks for joining us, Stan.
Thank you so much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.